Hallelujah. Praise God. It's an exciting morning. I'm excited to be here. I want to thank you for being here on this incredible weekend. A lot of people are take off, you know, and go places, and we're all happy about people getting their last vacation kick in. But I want to, we've been in just a two-part series called All In, and last week was Crossing Jordan. This week is entitled Overcoming the Giants in the Promised Land. And I want to read a passage, talk about this just for a minute before we get into the rest of the message here. This passage here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10 says, Joshua said, "And here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and the Samsonites who made the luggage for them." Okay. I thought I'd throw that in just for a minute. "Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing before you into the Jordan. And now, therefore, take 12 men of the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And now, verse 13, "And when the soles of the feet of the priest bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing, and the waters coming down from above shall stand in one heap." I wish I could have seen that. I wonder what that would look like. Just the water flowing up and up and up. I wonder how many stories high it went. I wonder if God, that's a lot of water for 2 million people to cross over. You know, that's a ton of water. "So when the people set out from their tents to pass over the Jordan with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as soon as those bearing the Ark had come from as far as the Jordan, and the feet of the priests bearing the Ark were dipped in the brink of the water. Now the Jordan overflows all its banks throughout the time of harvest. The waters coming down from above stood and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zarethan. And those flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. And the people passed over opposite Jericho. Now the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all Israel was passing over on dry ground until all the nation finished passing over the Jordan." So they experienced this miracle together, and God affirmed their faith. I had an awakening in my spirit about a timing. We've cast this vision several years back. We needed to sell land. We needed to do some things, and we didn't move forward. We just used it, helped people. I'm referring to 216 Monroe, for those of you who don't know, the historic building downtown. And through a conversation with my spiritual dad, Larry Titus, I was awakened. Something just jarred me loose there, and I sought the Lord. And as spiritual dads are good, at least for me, to be a good one. And as I was, as soon as I got off the phone there, I asked the Lord, and the Lord put this passage in my spirit. And he said, "This is how it's going to work. You've been anticipating a release of some funds, but I'm going to ask you to go first. I want to go ahead and ask you to go and get in. You do everything in your power right now to get in, and then I'll do the miracles. I'm asking you to go first. You go first." And something in me went zoop. And I have a word of the Lord in me, and we're going to go in. I don't have a timetable yet, but the Lord has sent help in different ways to affirm it instantaneously. It's been amazing. Isn't it amazing how when you get it? Hey, listen, I want to go ahead and ask, if you've never felt like I've got it, please forgive me. No excuses, but I'm first time around. I didn't have like a father in the ministry and a grandfather. I'm not from that. Not from that cut of swath. I was like a lone ranger out there, and God said, "You get over here." And I went, "Oh, okay. Now what?" And it's been a year just learning. Now what? You know, help me learn how to do this. Right? How many of you have the same way? You know, I was bound. I was bound, and I didn't know how to get free. And the Lord started me down a pathway to get free. See, when you don't know what to do, the Lord will show you what to do. He will help you. But you got to seek after Him with all your heart. You got to take responsibility for everything about your life and say, "God, help me." When you sink your teeth into the will of God like that, man, I feel so alive in here because it takes everything. Hey, how many of you know Apostle Paul when he said, I've set behind everything. Everything's done. I let go of all the past. I'm moving forward and laying hold, right? And to do that, you got to just lay hold. Almighty God is Almighty God. Jesus Christ is the Lord God Almighty. We're not dealing with something we made up in our heads. We're dealing with a God who transforms our lives from glory to glory as we seek Him and go through the seasons. How many of you have ever had your hearts just really just numbed out? The Lord showed us how to come to Him and allow Him to revive it. To bring a new work and sensitivity to Him. Right? There's things that He wants to do. And as we move together, I want to tell you, this is really important. As we move together, everybody go ahead and say, there is a warfare. There's a warfare. There's a warfare anytime you take ground in the Lord. Right? There's a warfare. Not to scare anybody. Just to say, let me go ahead and get on the message here. Would that be nice? How many of you would just praise the Lord with me that the Lord quickens the word in our hearts? And that's how He does it. And when is this a still small voice? When the Lord speaks something and you meditate on it and it grows and builds up inside and you just give yourself to it and begin to act in faith with it, the Lord begins to pour it. Because you need that. You don't you? You need to have a firm word inside when you hit things that come against. I was ministering to a young man the other day, the Lord spoke to me. And He said, the Shammah. Remember Shammah in the Old Testament? Shammah, he's stepping out. He's not in our church or anything. He's stepping out into a new season in his life. And the Lord put this word in my heart and said that just like Shammah protected his bean patch, that the anointing of the Lord came upon him and a whole troop of Philistines was taken down. I said, there's this new empowerment coming upon his life as he steps into these business ventures because all this stuff's going to happen. And that he says, it's not about being, it's about you individually being tested and standing there on your own and God coming and doing it. Isn't that wonderful how the Lord will give something to somebody and give a substance to their heart? When they say, I can stand in this and I can go forward in the Lord. And I love, but he did the same word he gave me years ago. So I understand how that works. Anyway, we're going to jump ahead a little bit into the book of Judges and look at some things. And as we're doing that, I just want you to know, everybody here, does everybody understand that when God brings about this idea of the promised land, the concept of the promised land, there is a place of fruitfulness for you, right? There's a place of fruitfulness, God-ordained fruitfulness for your life individually. And there's a God-ordained fruitfulness for a people corporately. And it's called a promised land. This idea God brought. He brings people out of Egypt, which is bondage. He wants to take them into the promised land. But most of us are not ready. We have a slave mentality. Just like them. It's like scared of the giants. It's too big for us. So we end up in a desert time until we get sick and tired of desert. Is that right? And then you go, okay. And then, you know, the longer you wait, it doesn't matter how long you wait to go into your promised land, the giants are still going to be there. They didn't like leave in the time that you were hanging out doing something else. When you come back, they're still going to be there. So you're going to face them one day or another. You're going to face the giants, right? You're going to have to. How many of you know the essence of the gospel works when you take 100% responsibility for yourself? You can't repent for anybody else, right? You can't forgive for somebody else. It's all the empowerment that Jesus has given us via the Holy Spirit and a pathway of walking with Him in sellout to Him. And these are days when He's coming back for a bride without spot or wrinkle. Jesus is looking for a people in the midst of a crazy, turned upside down culture. I've already made this pledge and commitment to you guys, but I know this. I want to do everything in my power to help you and me show up in front of Jesus and it be a good day. That you will have walked with the Lord and allowed Him to do the things in you that needed to be happened so you can move into the the seasons of blessed fruitfulness for your life. That's so important to me. And we're in a world that's absolutely turned upside down. So I'm going to read this passage out of Judges, chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Just tune in here. Now these are the nations that the Lord left. We're jumping up past Joshua to another season. These are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in the order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. I want to read that one more time. Now these are the nations that the Lord left to test Israel by them, that is, all in Israel who had not experienced all the wars in Canaan. It was only in order that the generations of the people of Israel might know war, to teach war to those who had not known it before. These are the nations, the five lords of the Philistines, all the Canaanites, the Sidonians, the Hivites, who lived in Mount Lebanon from Mount Baal Hermon as far as Lebo Hamath, and then says they were there for the testing of Israel to know whether Israel would obey the commands of the Lord. Isn't that something? They were there for the testing of Israel, whether Israel would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. So the people of Israel lived among the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And their, look at this, and their daughters took them to them for their to themselves for wives, and their daughters they gave their sons, and they served their gods. In other words, we come to a season in the life of Israel where the cyclic power, the power of the cycle of going off into wickedness, and then some prophet or some judge or somebody calls them back to repentance, and it's so bad, and then they cry out, and then God brings, you know, some help and revival, and they go back into wickedness, and then they cry out, and it goes. Sound familiar? That cycle where you end up running off away from the Lord, and then you cry out, and then God brings you back, and then you do it again. There's that thing that can happen if you're not settled on the ongoing purpose and development of who Jesus is in your life. Now it says, our first fill in the blank, let's go ahead and put that up. There's reasons for overcoming the giant in your promised land. This is the reason. Number one, to test your heart. To test your heart. He says, I will no longer drive out. This is now Judges, back to Judges 2. I will no longer drive out before you them in any of the nations that Joshua left when he died. And look at this, verse 20. In order, it's on your notes, in order to test Israel by them, whether they will take care to walk in the way of the Lord as their fathers did or not. So there's a test to see whether we'll take care to walk in the way of the Lord or not. Are you there? Now, I started looking up the definitions and researched a little bit and found some stuff. And I want to just point out, there's more than these four, but I just want to talk about the four, okay? Just what I have down here. There's different nations that are in the promised land. And so here's the picture. They got in, and yet not everybody's in that place of fulfillment. Are you there? And when you set out to do what God wants you to do, as we said a minute ago, there's going to be adversaries, right? So, what do those adversaries look like? Now, when the Israelites went into the promised land, one of the biggest adversaries that they had ongoingly, they had giants in there, was the Philistines. Philistines were there for a long time. Philistines battled David. I mean, we're not talking just through the time of the judges and Saul. They're around. God allowed them to stay to test the hearts, to see if they would walk in the ways of the Lord. And I found it very curious, as an analogy for us, that Philistine means to wallow. Wallowing in. Isn't that amazing? So now, instead of them going into the promised land facing these Philistines, let's look at the promised land in your own life. And I would like to ask you, have you been wallowing in something? Have you wallowed in something that has hindered you from taking the promised land? Is that a good question? That's an ad. Hey, I, for years, wallowed in the pain of the abuse of my father. Years wallowed in, oh man, wallowed in it, wallowed in it, wallowed. The grief, the pain, the guilt. the sense of bitterness, the anger, all those things, wallowed in them. But you can't go into the promised land. Even if it's good, like what if you're wallowing in your successes? What if you're wallowing in all the good things, wallowing in and never moving on to the next? Are you there? So the question is, are you wallowing anything, and what is it? Because that's a giant. We have to let go. We have to deal with that. Isn't that right? Is anybody here with me today? Say amen or oh my. I don't know. Because when you go on to God's purposes, the fulfillment of God's purposes, the Holy Spirit is going to say, here is an adversary in your life. How many of you would say, Holy Spirit, come today and with a surgical instrument, help me remove whatever I wallow in that holds me back from your purpose in my life. Come now and help me. Because he can highlight something where you've been stuck. Isn't that right? He's good like that. The Lord is gracious and helpful. Whenever I'm stuck, I don't know if I'm the only one that gets stuck on occasion. Is there anybody else that'll just fess up to the reality that you can get stuck? And you're stuck because you see things in a way that is holding you in that place of stuckness. This is kind of fun now. So, your mentality is a stuckness mentality. And there are many things that can cause you to be stuck. Isn't that right? And you bring your heart to the Lord, and you bring your mind to the Lord, and the Lord might point out something, and you begin to respond and deal with that. I have felt stuck in different places of my life over a period of my life. And I realize it's a scam. Nothing can hold me back from God's purpose except me and dealing with what I'm stuck in. Is that right? So if I allow that to entrench in my life, then I'm stuck. And I tell you, it was some of the greatest release of pain to let out all of the hurt of my earlier life. And it was a season, learning forgiveness at a deep dimension. I think it was at least 5 years of learning how to forgive the damage that had happened through my dad. It was painful. It took a long time. But I learned the way of the Lord that forgiveness works. Repentance works. These things are real. They work. And you can be, as I used to say in the South, you can get shed of quite a bit at the altar with Jesus, can't you? And he can relieve you of all kinds of things. And so if there's something that you have been wallowing in, the Lord is coming to you and say, let's go ahead, King David, and let's pop that Philistine right in the head. Let's take that giant down, all right? Let's assault the Philistine. Amen? I was just going ahead and said there's going to be all kinds of opportunities to wallow in the future. Because it said he allowed these adversaries to stay in the land to test their hearts to see if they would walk with him. Is that right? Is anybody reading the what's going on here? There are things that happen to us that and will continue to happen to us that we must take responsibility to deal with. And or we'll wallow. And that's a Philistine. Anybody, just say in your heart, I'm rising up. And I'm taking down the Philistine. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. There's another one. I'm just doing four. The other one is the Canaanites. The Canaanites, really, because it was called Canaan, everybody around was a Canaanite, except there was these individual tribes. But it's really interesting to me that the word for Canaan is the word trafficker. It's an amazing term. And the implication here is, as long as the Canaanites were getting something out of it for personal gain, they'd hang around. Isn't that insightful? There are people in the church in America that go, just they don't want to give their heart to the Lord for His glory, but they're there for personal gain, whether it's for financial blessing or social status. It's not about serving the Lord and being sold out to God. It's about another issue that they want because it's the spirit of Canaan. I heard somebody like Jesus, I believe, say, for what would it matter if you gain the whole world and lose and forfeit your own soul? And that goes right by the Canaanite spirit. Because we're here not for what God wants, but for what I can get out of it. How many of you realize that's really shallow? That's when you stand up for the Lord and He says, everything you did, you thought you did for me is all haywood and stubble. Nick used to call his beard haywood and stubble. Just kidding. Probably that's a bad joke. His last name is Haywood. And it's haywood and stubble. It says, we're going to make a big fire with all those things that you did for personal gain in my name. And it'll all be burned up. But the true testing of your character is that you did these things because the Lord requested them of you. And as you did them, it does cost. Jesus says, if you're going to follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself and follow me. How many of you just went, yay? No, that wasn't something I was like, oh boy. That's painful. But the thing is, when you start walking with the Lord, there's going to be all kinds of opportunities for personal gain. You say, no, I'm not in this for... That God wants to bless His people. Of course He wants to bless His people. He says, the wealth of the Lord comes to your life and adds no suffering to it or sorrow to it. The Lord is blessing His people. It's being sold out to Him, right? So that's the Canaanites. Let's look at the next one. Hittites. This is from the word Heth, which means sons of terror. Isn't this amazing? That their actual name. In other words, this is when they went in, there was a. How many of you have ever dealt with fear? Come on. Getting into your promised land, there will be fears that crop up in your life. Is that right? What if this doesn't happen? What if that doesn't happen? And fear can rule you. The Hittite can rule you. The Hittite can wear you out. So when you're going into your promised land, you're going to have to deal with fear. Everybody say fear. Guess what? I have good news for you today. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love. So hanging out with Jesus and allowing Him to work His love in you causes a work to happen in you that gives you an authority to cast out fear. Praise the Lord. What I would say is, when you come before the Lord, I want to just mention this, just a real practical and spiritual. How many of you get weighted down with stuff and all kinds of fears and worries and all stuff? It's just the nature of life, really. I want to tell you, praying in the Spirit or just standing there and praising God and thanking Him, an attitude of thankfulness gets that out of the way. It's amazing to me. Lord, I just want to thank You. I even heard recently, how many of us have always prayed, Lord, bless this food? Okay, you know how Israel, I've read this whole thing about how Israel does the blessing. You know what they say? Lord, we thank You that You have blessed us with provision. It's a different prayer. They're not asking to bless the food. They're thanking the blesser. What an attitude. We bless You, Lord. We thank You for being the blesser of our lives. We thank You for being the provider. We thank You for when they see a beautiful sunset. We thank You, Lord, for blessing us with nature. It's an attitude of just thank You for being the blesser. We praise You for being the blesser. I've started changing the way I pray at meals now. Instead of asking Him to bless the food, He says, I have blessed you with it. Just bless me. I'm the blesser of life. I'm the giver of life. And somehow that just gets in there and begins to carve out the place the Hittite fear had. Always having a strong spirit of gratitude before the Lord. Hope opens a door. How many of you really, really like it when somebody walks into your presence complaining? God doesn't like it either. He says, I want you to enter my presence with thanksgiving in your heart. And when people enter your presence with thanksgiving in your heart, you want to spend all day with them. Because God made you as He is. So be the person of thanksgiving. It opens doors, doesn't it? It's real simple. A reality. But the Hittites can't live around that. Amen? Let's look at the next one. Amorites. Amorites. This is the word... is to talk. It's just to talk. It implies not doing. Just talking. Isn't that something? There will be an adversary you will face that you'll talk and not do. You'll say you're going to do it, but you won't do it.
Wow.
These are the adversaries he left in the land. There are people who can talk the talk and don't walk it out. We've all been there. By the way, you're visiting, I just want to tell you, don't let anybody fool you here. They're 10 times more messed up than you, okay? Just be at peace. We all come here because, you know, they say that if it was a perfect church and I went, it wouldn't be perfect anymore. So I think that's how. But you know what? The Lord has a gracious, caring, tender invitation to each of us to come and sit at His table and be served of Him. And He washes our feet, and we're not worth all that. But He considers it so. And then we come to realize we have more significance in our life and we want to be like Him. And it's really all about a couple of things. It's not a lot about a lot of things. It's about bringing glory to God with our life. And it's about having Him reflect His life through us. And that's the essence of what real obedience would be about. Right? I don't want things in my life that don't bring about a reflection of God's glory. Are you there? And the Amorites are about self-boasting. Look what I did. It's all about me. Selfishness. The word says, "For consider your calling, brothers." 1 Corinthians 1:26 through 31. "Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were noble, of noble birth." Anybody get ready? Raise your hand. "But God chose the foolish, what is foolish in the world, to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Get this. "So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord." Hallelujah. And that's all point number one. Point number two. What was the second reason? To test our hearts and what? To teach you to war. And now we're going to go quickly because we're almost done, really. I just wanted to spend the time on this. I'm asking today that you would take this to heart. That as we step forward together to go into the new season of our life, that there is tests and there is teaching. Is that right? There's things that God wants to do in and through us that we haven't done yet. This is kind of a personal heart-to-heart time too. I just know this. Over this past season, I've changed. Personally, I've changed. I feel like in my heart I want the will of God in a greater way than I ever have, and I didn't even know it didn't. How many of you know when you go through trial, God, something gets out of your life? If you glory in tribulations, produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character, hope. Hope does not disappoint, for the love of God is poured out by the Holy Spirit into our hearts. Something happened in me, and I want to live in the fullness of that. I feel like I have a better handle on what God's asking of me, and a better handle on the understanding the power of the gospel. And that's just where I am. And I have a joy in me that just rises up in the morning because I'm being obedient. And I need it. Are you there, guys? Are there? I'm asking that whatever to get in there together. And so, when you make a decision to say, I'm going to go after it, there are adversaries. And the Lord says, the reason I got them there is because if you've forgotten how to war, I'm going to go ahead and sharpen you up. Right? Because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. How many of you spend years doing that? If you wrestle against flesh and blood, you're on the wrong field. You bind the adversary. You work against the works of darkness. When you do that, love abounds in your heart toward people, even if they're against you. Because you know they're against you because the adversary is at work. And I'm not just blaming everything on the devil because I've made enough bad choices. But when you buy in to a pattern of thinking that doesn't do you well and ends up embittering your heart, you got to get rid of that one. Is that right? How many of you had learned that lesson? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go ahead. Would you proclaim, do I have that 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5 on there? Is it on your paper? I should look at my right one here. Let's go ahead and read it together. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You know, when Paul wrote this, you know what he was actually talking about? We always use this as for ourselves individually. You know what he was actually talking about? He was talking about when he goes into a region and preaches the gospel, and the gospel tears down the strongholds over the people in the region, and they come to the Lord. Wow! Isn't that something? The context is evangelism. The context is coming in and preaching and taking captive, and you can see it in his preaching. You know, you can pick it up. He's coming against things in the culture that are binding people up and bringing them down. And I'm getting a flare for that in my spirit, man, because our city has poverty. Our city has a clinging to mammon. Mammon is a liar. Mammon is a spirit that says if you have more money, you'll have peace, and it lies to you. It tells you one thing and doesn't deliver. And you have more fear trusting in money than if you would just have tithed, given the first tithe, and have confidence in God. Right? And those things bind people, and people end up in poverty. People have been in addiction. It's amazing the level of an amount of when people are broken down, what they turn to medicate their wounds. And the Lord says, I want to break the power. Ooh, God. The Lord desires to break the power of the spirit of addiction in Fairmont, and it become a haven for liberty. A haven for liberty out of the darkness of those bondages and into the light of what Jesus can do to love that soul into health and healing. And I give myself to that. I understand addiction, and you do too. You know, you understand brokenness. Jesus is near to the brokenhearted. He comes to heal the brokenhearted. That's what it was with me. The brokenness of my soul caused me to turn to things to try to medicate the pain. Lord says, I feel that in my spirit. Lord says, I've come to deliver the city from addiction. I never saw that before until just there. Let's give ourselves to say, Lord, we want to see people come out of the bondage of addictions. The Lord's been flashing these things in my spirit. I never know when He's going to do it. But I'm giving myself to it. Let's praise Him just for a minute. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank You for Your intentions with this community. We give You praise and ask, Lord, You do a reviving in our own souls toward the majesty of Your abilities, the power of who Your person in our midst. And we want to praise the Lord Jesus that does the things all over the place. It's a crazy and dark world, but we know the light has come. And the glory of the Lord has risen, and we want to be in the middle of seeing You do this. So we humble our hearts today and say, Lord, may I be there. Use me. I want to be right in the middle of You watching Your power manifest, not with any eloquence of speech, but with the work of the Spirit doing those things in people's lives. We pray for that. Lord, I don't slaver after the supernatural. If I'm slavering, it's after You. I love You, Lord, and what You do for people. I ask Your help. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's go to number 3. And to tell you the truth, because the other two were in the text, I thought, well, what would be a nice tea to go along with? to go with test and teach, and I realized triumph would be perfect. To triumph in and through Christ. To triumph in and through Him. Isn't that right? The nation of Israel did not triumph. Originally, they were supposed to take out all the adversaries, and they did not. They did not continue through. So there were people left over after Joshua was in there. And that's where our passage comes from. And it's a picture for us to realize we have to deal with the issues of our own souls to get toward the place of the promised land that God has for us. Isn't that right? And he says, I want to train you for war so you'll pull down strongholds in your own thinking and in helping other people. Is that right? I see some nodding heads like those little ceramic dolls in the back of those cars. So God calls us into a place of triumph in Jesus Christ. Let's proclaim the scripture, the first one. But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. Hallelujah. One of my favorite verses. Praise you, Lord. And let's go ahead and then quote this one with me, and then we'll close up here. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Overcoming is available, but it's not on your terms of try harder. How many of you heard that one? You need to just try harder. You're not trying hard enough. If you're going to try hard at anything, is get at the cross and let the blood of Jesus, the grace that it brings, cause something to happen. There's help available. See, people don't know that. How many of you, since you've been here, you've learned things about the Lord that you didn't know before? That you may be more messed up than you actually thought. But that the Lord loves you more than you could have ever imagined. And that's where the hope comes from. Jesus is the genuine article for today's struggles. When He shows up, everything gets better. The pain subsides. The hurts dissipate. Isn't that right? And hope rises. Just for a moment, let's ask, just kind of, as I was praying about all this, I was just thinking, the thing that kept coming back up in my spirit was, you know, I've been guilty of this. If there's anything you've wallowed in, let's just come back to that point again and ask the Lord to allow there to come His help in your heart. Okay? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fall fresh in this place. Come and speak to our hearts. Help us. Help us. Holy Spirit, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. As I look at you, I feel this real passion about the Lord moving in your behalf in the future. You have people in your life that you've prayed for, and there's a hope rising in you that He's going to touch their lives, isn't there? Is that happening? Well, I saw that, like, you know, the Lord just around you there, like there's a passion awakening in your heart that He's going to do great things to the people around you and your family and all that. There's this, it's a rising faith. Thank you, Lord. So put your confidence in Him. Those past discouragements, let them go. This is a new season. Let them go. Anybody else feel the same thing? Let them go. Let's step into the new thing. Amen? Let's pray. This is kind of an old terminology that Jack Hayford used to say. He says, let's let a holy murmur of praise fill the room. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's go ahead and stand together. The Lord bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.